listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey there, thanks for listening to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Amanda here with Tim, and we are pulling back the curtain to hear from one of the top site consultants in North America, and that is Jeff Pappas. Tim, tell us how your conversation went.
Jeff is an amazing site selector. He works for Cressa. He's a principal there, and he does work both on the national and international fronts. He manages their global real estate strategy, and he does labor market analysis. He does location advisory, and he's an international kind of guy. His thoughts about economic development are really from a global perspective. His passion for economic development comes from a place of great knowledge. He's worked with all types of clients to land new investments in different places for companies. And so he's a great speaker, he's a great engager, and his thoughts about what the economic development industry needs are quite insightful. You're going to learn over the next few minutes as you hear this interview with Jeff. He is certainly a leader in his field, and I look forward to all of you learning what I did in my conversation with him. Jeff, this is Tim Tarantine from Consultant Connect. Welcome to the podcast and congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Thank you very much. It's really quite an honor, to be honest with you.
We're glad to have you on the call. We're excited about the work you've been doing, and especially now with you being a principal at Cressa, we'd love to dive right in. I want our listening audience to get to know you like we've come to know you as a great professional in our business. What are the three things everyone should know about Jeff?
Well, for one thing, I write poetry. So I've written over 200 poems, two short stories, and I've actually written one song. So that's something a little few people don't know about me. So,
and is all that available online?
No, it's all it's all basically, written in books and written in things I'll strewn across my study at my house. So
wow, congratulations. What else?
I am engaged to be married, so I'll be married to the love of my life in April this year. We're getting married in Portofino, Italy, so we're extremely excited about that.
Congratulations.
And lastly, I'm a groundhopper. And what a groundhopper does, travels across the world, visiting soccer stadiums across the world. I've done 182 worldwide. So that's one of my hobbies.
Amazing. So tell our audience how you got involved in site selection. What was the genesis of your career in site selection?
Great question. When Susan Arledge, my partner, started many, many years ago, almost close to 15, 16 years ago, we were doing a lot of work for Xerox, a lot of work for Sprint. We did all of Sprint's North America call centers, and we found out we were doing a lot more than just the real estate. We were doing a lot of the labor profiling, the wage analysis, the demographic analysis, and it was much more than just doing a real estate deal. It ended up being a business deal. And so we really started to get focused on doing their site selection. And then when they started outsourcing, they recommended us to a lot of their outsourcers. So because we understood what it meant for site selection as a separate line item to the real estate lease negotiations, that's really how we got involved, transferring from a pure broker to really a site selection consultant that focuses heavily on the back office, labor-intense companies.
Yeah. The background that you came into and what you were focusing on is obviously relevant for the learnings today. With all of that experience and literally global experience, tell us an inside secret that you lean on when you're assessing communities for a project. So when you do what you do, what's that Jeff-centric thing that you do that you think is unique in looking at a client?
That is a great question because every project's different and every client wants something different.
Sure.
When I look at communities, you can look at the labor, you can look at the people, you can look at the real estate opportunities, you can look at the airports. But what I look at the most are the hotels. if we find a market that is a secondary or tertiary market, and they have spent time, money, and effort on a quality hotel or two, we did a project many years ago for Novo One in Holland, Michigan, and we looked at Grand Rapids, we looked at Muskegon, we looked all across Michigan, and we focused on Holland because when they did a hotel, they were looking at this. It's called City Flats, and it's a great boutique hotel. And they decided, okay, we can have a Hilton Garden Inn, we can have a Red Roof, we can have a City Flats. And they decided to be progressive and pick City Flats and let four or five different designers design four or five rooms each. So that gave it a sense of a progressive market, not just any hotel will do, but it really shows that they care about the consumers coming into the market, people that are currently living in the market, and the businesses that are growing in the market, and people coming in as a tourism. So they thought about all of that. And so if you go into a market and you see really old, poor, rundown hotels, or the customer service isn't right in the hotels, or they're not really offering above standard customer service, and that permeates through the communities. Something that I like to do, aside from anything else, is look at the hotels. I know it sounds crazy, that's one of my little insights.
Sure. What a unique approach. So now that you have clients all over the place, right? You have global clients. If you can, what are the key issues for your clients and for the companies today? And the issues as it regards to what economic developers and communities need to know and do about those issues?
You know, the key issues are always going to be geared towards labor. Right? Everybody tells you that. It's labor, labor, labor. It's quality, quantity. But I think what's really important for EDCs to understand is it's not about generating interest up front. It's about sustaining that interest 12 months, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years down the road, because applicant sustainability is way more important than applicant generation. Look, any new announcement, I don't care what type of company that goes into a market, it's going to bring interest, right? It's going to bring applicant flow, whether it's a retail company, a manufacturing company, a call center, back office. But what's really important is 12, 18 months down the road when that client needs to expand, or when they've already gone through the first 600, 700, 800, 1,000 applications, can they still get that generating of interest and still get that sustainability of the labor when the company's growing? So I think that's extremely important when it comes to the key issue that our clients need. And I think the second issue is having support from the EDCs, not in the first year, because every EDC is going to give the support to a new company, but in the second and third year, that the EDC stops by to say hello, takes care of their own, right? They take care of a growing company, not always keep trying to bring in new businesses, but knowing who runs that office, knowing what that business is doing in their community, knowing who runs it, knowing who the corporate folks are. I think that's so important that the EDCs truly understand what's going on in their market. That way, they know who they are selling. They know who the companies are in their community. And again, the EDCs need to show that, so that way the CFOs, CEOs, the director of operations know that a year, 2 years from now, they're not forgotten. I think those are two key issues that our clients are always looking at, aside from specific to each market, like city taxes and real estate and, you know, roads and all that. Those are always going to be part of no matter what community. But those are key issues down the road that I think our clients are always, always asking about.
Wow. What an insight for our economic developers in the audience. I got to ask you another question, because this is one that I'm sure you get all the time. But what types of marketing strategies work best on you? So from Jeff's perspective, I'm sure you get inundated with requests and with flyers and magazines and all types of marketing attempts to grab your attention. What works?
You know, that's a really difficult question, because I want to say none, just for sheer fact that every project we do for our client is different, and every market is different for each one of our clients' needs, right? So I can get inundated with, you know, marketing strategies from all these different markets across the United States, But unless I have a client that that market fits the best, it won't matter to me if they send me, you know, multiple flyers or multiple phone calls. I mean, it's great that we always stay in contact with each other because it's very important that we know who the EDOs are. And if they do some changes there, that's great. And they have better and better websites, which I think is always important. The website is so important to from the initial standpoint. There's still so many websites that I see that EDCs have done that don't have email addresses, personal email addresses and phone numbers. They still use general inquiry or info ad. That drives me nuts. So no amount of marketing will alter what I think about each project. I know that if my project is for a certain region, I know where to go. If I know it's for a certain time zone or a certain different criteria, I know where to go. So that's, again, a great question, but a difficult question because everybody's marketing is different and, you know, flyers work, email blast work, mailer, they're all different gifts, you know, sure. Free trip. All those things work. And fam trips are great. I think fam trips are fantastic to get somebody into the market. But I think fam trips should only be attended if we know we're going to either recommend business going there or doing business there. I'll never do a fam trip if I know my clientele won't go into that market for one other reason. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but from a site sector standpoint, it's our job to A, be unbiased, right? As Crest is being tenant only, we don't represent any land or any properties or any cities or states. So our job is to be unbiased. So that way, every market that has the ability to support the project my client has will be considered. And there's always something that changes that, whether it's time zone, whether it's flight time or flight schedules, whether it's, you know, wage issue or type of business unit. So I hope that's answered the question.
It has. And I tell you, great insights. I got to get you out of here on this one, Jeff. And this is a huge one. If you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would you tell them?
Oh, wow. One thing. Be honest. And not just be honest to the site selector, but be honest to your investors. Be honest to site selectors. Be honest to the local community. But more importantly, be honest to yourself. Ask yourself, why are you doing this? Why is your job important? How can you improve in your job? What does community mean to you? And how are you honestly helping the community grow? I know it sounds trite to say be honest, but I always love when an EDC tells me, we can't do that. We aren't the right spot for you. We are not going to be successful with your client. Because that tells me that I can ask them anything. They're going to tell me the truth. Because if they're going to tell me the truth when times are good, and they're going to tell me the truth when times are bad, yeah. I know I can trust them. Because our clients trust us. We trust you. And every project I do has some type of need for economic development, to speak to economic development officer, to speak to a mayor, to speak to a governor, to speak to a legislator, to speak to a director of planning, a city official. If they're honest with me and they're honest with their community, they're going to be much more successful because the city understands what they're trying to do. Their citizens understand what they're trying to do. The governor understands what they're trying to do. They're understanding what the governor's trying to do, what the mayor's trying to do. Because they're all on the same page because they're just strictly being honest and upfront of what they can and cannot do. And I think that's extremely vital.
Jeff, you've been so generous and helpful with this podcast. It's been great, man. Listen.
I can talk forever. I can talk about anything you want to talk about.
Jeff, the passion rolls off your shoulder and out of your being every time I talk to you or see you. I just want to congratulate you on being nominated by your peers as one of North America's top 50 site consultants. And thank you so much for what you've poured into this one.
It's an honor to me. You know, Jack Welch said it best. He said, if your right hand can do what you're good at and your left hand can do what really is important to you, what impacts you, what your desire is, if those hands cross, then you're really doing the job you're supposed to do. And I feel like my hands are crossed a lot.
If it's legal to say amen on a podcast, amen. Jeff, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.